Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I've just gone 7:19 Central African time. Getting better and better on Consciously Connected. Are you connected this morning to Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah? That time of the morning where we join our very own Adam Kamda, who takes us fishing into the deep end of the Indian Ocean. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful, wet morning in Durban, Adam?
The sky is heavily laden with clouds. Looks like it might rain at any moment. Looking out to sea, you can see it is raining already out at sea. I've seen a few boats launch, so those are the diehard fishermen that fish in any weather. I knew this weather was coming today, so I had my full yesterday. I spent the whole day fishing off Umhlanga, the north of Durban, and exploring all our fishing spots, Shafar.
I can tell you, once you explore the fishing spots, the morning, and it is a wet morning, the mood is somewhat different. You know, get us into that mode of, you know, there I'm in the, you know, in Durban looking at the skies. I can't shoot my favorite shot where the birds are, you know, in the silhouette of that lovely golden skies. What happens to you then, Adam? Even the birds are sleeping.
Yes, Shafad, you know, when it's drizzling, people wonder how are you able to get shots of birds, because they would hesitate to go out and get their feathers wet. But they can sense the rain coming. And I was watching the birds flock around this morning before the rains came close to shore. And I did manage to get a couple shots, although it's not with a bright orange or yellow sunrise. But still, it lends for a lovely photograph with a somber mood, with the dark clouds in the background and the birds soaring high in the sky, Shafar.
As you said, the birds are so high in the skies. And, you know, generally, there's something about being on a beach when it's even drizzling and the sand is wet. And if you, you know, that experience I had many a times. But, you know, as a schoolboy, I knew a weekend I had to get to the beach, whether it's rain, storm, or, you know, whatever came across. But the Saturday was, even if it rained, I know that I can't go play my tennis or my soccer. But I went to that beach. And somehow on that light, drizzly morning or the wet sand, my sand castles came out better, Adam. What about you?
Yes, Shafad, as you know, we are so protected and cocooned that at the hint of a little rain, everyone scurries indoors. But you know, when time is short, time is precious, and you're on holiday and you're at the beach, you know you're going to get wet in the water anyway. So it doesn't matter if it starts raining. And as I look out to sea now, I can see... I'm looking at the shore. I can see hundreds of bathers enjoying the waters. The sky is threatening with rain. You can see the rain has started at sea already, and it is moving to shore. So everyone's really loving it, enjoying the heritage long weekend. Lots of visitors around. I believe most of the hotels are fully booked as well. And it's great to see the beaches busy again.
Absolutely, Adam. You know, as you said, the long weekend comes then. Well, the culture of yesteryear was, if it's a long weekend, and you must know that long weekend, right? Everyone's at the beach, the picnic basket is there, the Blue Lagoon is chock-a-block. I don't know about Swingo Beach, but everyone knew their spot. It was that sun kiss. They went to the Crystal for the sandwiches and so forth. And, you know, our cousins from Joburg came, and they bunked with us. And when they were bunking with us, the Gudris came out. We had the mattresses for them. There was a culture of come. We'll all have a nice, cozy time with the extended family, even from Cape Town. And they knew it wasn't 3 days, but they stayed for 7 days. Adam, your thoughts?
Yes, Shafad, you remind me of the days where we used to drive down to Pakrini Beach. I don't know why it was so famous, but everyone from Durban would drive to Pakrini. I don't know if it was maybe to avoid the big crowds that come to Durban or just the tranquility that you find down the south coast. And we used to pack a big pot of akni in one of those wonder bags that keeps it hot for hours. And after a few hours of playing in the waves and jumping around, running around with cousins, everyone would return back to the gazebo and paper plates would be handed out and the food would be dished. And there was always food for everyone, and still there was so much barakah, there was still more, you know, to even share with whoever was around and at the beach. And lovely memories, stomach full with beautiful, hot, piping hot akni, mutton akni, And then lovely cool drinks passed around. And I don't know if you remember donuts. We have donuts with fresh cream. And just pure bliss, Shafat.
You know, Adam, you hit the nail on the head. You used to bring in Park Rennie. Now I know you. We all used to go to Park Rennie. And we had a cousin of mine who had a big, big, like a rondavel there. And, you know, luckily it's covered with Nuri's passed on, Dildar Khan. So when we used to go there, and I'm wondering, we left a place like Spingo Beach and we went to Park Rennie, but you'll find a lot of charos were there. And then the, you know, the family members, some, as you said, brought the akni, and that auntie cooked the best akni, and some brought the puri pastas, and some went and brought the soji. And there was a whole mix, and there was so much of variety. There was so much of baraka in the whole thing that that one auntie brought a lagan, and some brought the, you know, they made the special chai or tea, and everyone, there was never any shortage. And everyone ate to the fill. And if there were some vagrants around, even they were invited and given a hearty meal, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, now you're getting me on that mili meti lagan yo. That was one of my favorites. And nothing beats a piping hot tea brewed on a fire, Shafad. That really has a smoky taste. And when they allow it to boil up, you know, to the brim and then take it off the fire, that milk also has a much creamier taste, Shafad.
Then, Adam, we can't forget those were those uncles that also had the fishing rods. Whilst we were indulging to bulge, these uncles were fishing. And, you know, now and then, say, hey, the rod is bending and all run to that. And there's that uncle, instead of pulling out a fish, he's pulling out one of the crayfish from the sea. How did that happen, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, as kids, we always looked up to the uncles with fishing rods in their hands. And they were like heroes, Shafad, you know, casting out this little piece of sardine and pulling out maybe a shad or a stumpy. And as you said, sometimes they use a crayfish gear and even catch a crayfish. And the South Coast especially, there's quite a few rocky beaches and lends itself well to crayfish fishing, Shafad. And then a crayfish or two would come out, get cleaned on the beach, added some garlic and ginger, some olive oil, salt and pepper, and thrown straight on the fire, Shafad. And it was absolutely delicious bounty from the ocean, Shafad.
Ah, beautifully indeed. Bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bounty from the Indian Ocean. Then, Adam, am I exaggerating here? Were the rods 12 foot? I mean, these uncles had long rods. And I think as you know, years are going on, the rods became shorter and shorter. And then the drones took over. Am I correct in my assumption, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, you find As fishing developed, fishermen wanted to cast further and further. Sometimes if there's a sandbank, they need to cast the bait beyond the sandbank. So they always vied for the longer rods. And today you can get rods up to 15 foot, which is really quite long. And you really need to have a big muscular structure to be able to handle casting with a 15-foot rod. But the most common, I'd say, on the surf at the moment are the 13 and 14 foots. And then with the advent of drone fishing, you didn't actually have to cast the bait because the drone carries the bait out to sea. So they could easily fish with a much shorter, stockier rod. And that was used basically to enable you to fight the fish harder. So you didn't need to cast it, but you have the leverage with a short rod to put a lot of pressure on the fish that you catch, Shafad.
Look at a message on the screen here. Farooq says, Assalamu alaikum, Abru Shafa. Really enjoying your tune with Adam Kamda. You make a top fishing duo. You fish with Adam. Hey, I fish on dry land, but Adam does the real fishing. Farooq wants to know from you, Adam, should we tell, before getting married, should we tell our wives that our first passion is fishing? Adam, how you respond to Farooq here?
Yes, Shafad, you remind me of my earlier days when I had a boat. I wanted a mooring in the Durban Harbour, and all the moorings were full. You had to go on a waiting list. And a good friend of mine had just gotten married. And for the first year of marriage, he wasn't allowed to use his boat. So he gave me his mooring to use for the first year while I was on the waiting list. I think that's true love, Shafad.
Well, so Farooq wants to know, so you have to tell your wife, you know what, remember, we're going to get married, inshallah, but remember, weekends is the ocean. Your thoughts, Adam?
You know, Shafad, I don't think it's a matter of disclosure because, you know, in your courting days, she would get to see what your passion really is. And if she's smart, she'll actually participate as well. I remember as a little kid growing up, my dad always used to run away fishing with my uncles. And my mom reached her limit and she packed the four kids up and said, I'm coming with. And from then on, we always enjoyed family trips to the harbor, fishing from the wharf. And really bonded and enjoyed fishing as a family hobby, Shafad.
You know, that's a brilliant point indeed. And also, you know, some people say, hey, I need my me time. So you can say, you know what, you know, you can tell your wife, hey, there's your me time. I'll be out there for 3-4 hours. I'll be back home again. But you can do her a favor. Take the kids with you if she wants a me time, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, when it comes to fishing, everyone finds their balance. Some women find it very icky to be handling sardine bait and standing on the beach for long hours, etc. They'd prefer to go shopping while you indulge your passion in fishing, Shafad. And then there are others that will just jump on the boat with you, head out to sea, you know, enjoy a little bit of queasiness or seasickness, and then, you know, settle in and enjoy the sights and sounds of being out in the ocean and enjoy the passion with their man, Shafad.
No, absolutely, Adam. And then I'm looking at a message here from Abdul. He says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm enjoying the chat this morning. Thought of going for fishing, but the weather is inclement, so I'm chilling out at home, having lovely hot bajias, Blue Chef. I want to know from Adam, which is the best fishing cap to buy? I was told lately it was a curved trucker range that is known as the best caps. Is that true, Adam Kamta? How do you respond to Abdulia asking about caps?
Yes, Shafar. The cap basically protects your head from the ozone, from the harsh rays of the sun, gives you protection so you don't get sunburned. And as many of us are losing some of that crown, so we need to use the cap. Also, the peak gives you good protection from the protects your eyes from the sun, keeps your eyes in the shade, and helps you to look out to sea, looking for fish and spotting fish, etc. Although this is such a utility piece of fashion, it has really, really blossomed into multi-colors, multi-styles. Every brand is vying to make the best. One of the best caps I've seen recently is the one made by BKK. And then also very popular are the Daiwa caps. In our shop, we're running a promotion. You buy a Daiwa reel over 500 Rand and you get a Daiwa cap for free, a beanie for free. And then there's the iFish caps and Akuma caps. So just besides all the very varied fishing tackle that you can buy, Shafad, a simple thing like a cap that you mentioned has so much of choice. And within each brand, there's so many colors and styles to choose from, Shafad.
Yeah, the guys are on the questioning mode here. And Vauda says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. Do we still have to use those big traces for the shads? Can't we get a lure that can just catch a shad just like that? That's a good question, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. You know, the traditional way is to use that shad trace with a wire, a 3-0 hook, and a cork bung. the idea of this is when you cast it out, the sinker takes the entire rig to the bottom and the float lifts the bait up off the bottom into the strike zone where the shad actually feed. And that's the reason for that complicated shad trace. But as you know, fishermen are very resourceful people and many of them use lures. One of the most famous one is the Toby spoon, which can be fished even without wire, no sinker, no float. You just cast it out, let it sink a little bit below the surface, and you work it to give it a lively action. And the experienced angler, Shafad, will catch shad throw for throw with that lure.
Well, Adam, the question to ask you, they say, this question from Ismail, he says, Adam, I know that jellyfish have survived for 650 million years, despite not having a brain. This gives hope to many people. Oh, I didn't know that. He meant that as a joke, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, the jellyfish is a very simple organism. It's amazing to watch underwater how they pump the water and able to navigate. They don't exactly have any eyes, but I think they can sense light, so they have a sense of direction. And then I think the ocean currents and the winds also play a big factor. into which directions they move. Very often when we have a strong northeasterly wind, Shafa'at, we have jellyfish washed up on the shore here on our Durban coastline. And their sting can be quite painful and dangerous, so it's good to avoid them if you notice them in the water to exit the water as soon as you can.
You know, the question to pose, Adam, how many people do lake fishing or river fishing or go to dams? Is that culture still alive?
You know, Shafa'at, we are blessed here with the ocean, and you'd expect everyone to be running towards the ocean to enjoy surf fishing or paddling out with their paddle skis and do ski fishing or launch their boats. But I've recently met a group of customers, Shafa'at. They even have a large WhatsApp group to coordinate all the activities. And they've migrated to Hazelmere Dam and the inland waters, Shafa'at. And I asked one of the guys, you know what, what was the attraction? And they said, we are so passionate about fishing that when it's too rough to launch in the ocean, then we head inland and we use all these Makati soft baits and target bass, Shafa'at. So when it comes to fishing, there's always something to be had, whether the weather is too bad for surf fishing or deep sea fishing. You can always enjoy our rivers, lakes, and dams inland, Shafa'at.
Question here on the screen, and Umar says, could you please ask Adam Kamra, Chef, what was his worst moment whilst fishing? Could he share that with us? Adam, generally people ask you for your best moments, but Umar wants to know your worst moments whilst you were fishing.
You know, Shafa'at, I can't offhand think of any bad moment because I'm always in my element when I'm fishing. But there is one thought that has crossed my mind that, you know, when you're out at sea on a boat and catching big fish, there's sharp hooks around, you often come across video clips of people who have been impaled by a barbed hook, and they show you techniques to remove it. And I hope I'm not speaking too soon, but I haven't had one of those incidents yet, either for myself or one of my crew. So inshallah, that calamity will stay away from us. I suppose that would be a nasty moment or a bad moment to experience while fishing, Shafa'at.
Jazakallah for sharing that. This question here says, Assalamu alaikum. I believe you have a Runian boat club, Adam. How do you get as a member if you're owning a canoe? Can I become a member too, Adam?
Yes, Shafa'at. It's called the Isipingo Beach Ski Boat Club. You can Google it or just check on Facebook. There is a page for our club. You can get in touch with one of the executive members who will talk you through the process of joining the club. The club is open to to anyone that's interested in fishing, Shafa'at. And it's even for boat members and non-boat members. So the boat members will enjoy the facilities of being able to use the tractor and launch their boats. And the non-boat members can come and join in the social activities where we have regular fishing clinics. We often have braais at the club, and everyone can meet and share their thoughts and ideas about fishing and the passion for the sport, Shafa'at.
How often do you meet as members at of the club, Adam?
Yes, Shafa'at, before COVID, we used to meet very regularly. Since COVID, things have slowed down a bit. But we have lots of young blood in the club at the moment, and they're beginning to revive all the activities in the club, Shafa'at.
This message just says, Assalamu alaikum, Blue Chef. Talk about the garricks. Are they biting here in the Indian Ocean? And when can I go for garrick? Is it better to go for it in the morning or towards the late afternoon? That's a good question, Adam.
I don't think it should be or, it should be and. You can catch it in the morning and the afternoon. Those generally have always been the best times to fish, Shafa'at. Early morning, as the sun comes up. As you know, the fish activity slows down overnight just as we go to sleep. And then when you wake up in the morning, you're hungry for breakfast. So you think, you know, the fish would also be hungry. So that first light is always the best time to go out and hunt for these amazing fish. And then evening time as well, Shafa'at, you know, the fish I want to have their last bite before they put to bed, same as we were having supper, Shafa'at. So mornings and evenings are best times. And garrick can be caught through various techniques. The most popular, most successful would be with live baits. So you try and catch a shad or even a carantine, and you pin it out and you slide it out beyond the break of Shafaat. And one of the most popular spots is our humble Blue Lagoon Shafaat. You often find the brackish water that flows out of the river mouth gives protection for some of the bait fish that swim around there, and the gharik come and hunt in this color line. So that's a really awesome spot to try for gharik. And gharik can also be caught with spoons, so you don't use any bait at all. You just use a plug or a spoon. You cast it out beyond the waves, and you work it on the surface, making splashing sounds with the lure and attract the predatory instinct of the gharik shafaat.
Well, I can see you doing that, Adam. You brought it graphically right in front of us. Looking at a message from Shoaib, he says, "Assalamu alaikum, Chef and Adam. Great show indeed. The other day, my nephew phoned me and he said, Mamu, I caught a blackfin and it's 50 kgs. Now, I acted like I knew what is a blackfin, but I don't have a clue. Please, Adam, tell me what's a blackfin." That's even me. I don't have a clue, Shoaib. What's a blackfin, Adam?
Yes, Shafaad, you have a lot of colors in names and a lot of short names like bluefin and yellowfin and yellowtail. Bluefin refers to a bluefin tuna, yellowtail. Yellowfin refers to yellowfin tuna. Yellowtail refers to a kingfish species called the yellowtail. The blackfin, he was probably referring to a black-tip shark, Shafaad. Yeah, also you can see that the names get morphed from blackfin to black-tip and black-tip to blackfin. So there can be a lot of confusion with names at fish, but you just have to be used to which area the guys are fishing in and what they're targeting, Shafaat.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you get this predatory birds that they're eyeing the bait all the time. Now, is it a good idea, Adam, that when you're going fishing, keep something for the birds, so just throw it far away so they can keep themselves busy? What's your thoughts?
Yes, Shafaat, when we're out at sea, we often watch for birds because you can see them quite far in the distance, and they indicate where the bait fish are. And if you find the bait fish, then you find the bigger predatory fish below them. If you think about looking out toward the horizon, the waves kind of camouflage the surface activity of the bait fish. But the birds working above them is a dead giveaway. So watching the birds is a very integral part of fishing for us, Shafaat. And we don't have to carry stuff to feed the fish. You know, often while we are trimming our chaka baits and our sardine baits, the heads and the insides get thrown overboard. And you often have birds sitting on the surface of the water waiting for that. They've over the years learned that ski boats and other boats out at sea often toss the waste baits to them, and they can enjoy a lovely meal out of that, Shafaat.
Well, you're talking about the meals. I know that Gigi Foy likes a methi bhaji with hot karoti, and some like the methi with the mince and methi. Oy, you can tell even the Member of Parliament, Ahmed Mandur Sheikh Imam, he yearns for his methi bhaji and mince every time he comes to Durban from Cape Town. But Adam Kamda this morning, he's got a top recipe for us, methi soup today, Adam. Bismillah.
Yes, Shafaat, in keeping with the theme for our Heritage Long Weekend, celebrating my Memon heritage, and Mum always used to make methi soup for us, served with broken mealy meal roti, you know, poured over that and soaked in, and really enjoyed. So it's such a simple recipe, Shafaat. You start with a large pan on medium heat. Once it heats up, you add 2 teaspoons cooking oil, add 1/2 teaspoon mustard seeds, followed by 1 teaspoon cumin seeds. Saute this for a few seconds, then add 1 teaspoon crushed garlic. Give it a good mix and let it cook for another few seconds. Add 2 green chilies roughly chopped or to taste. Add a pinch of turmeric powder. Saute for a few seconds, then add 2 cups washed and chopped methi leaves. After 2 minutes, add 3 cups water. Give it a mix and bring it to a boil. Add salt to taste. Then boil on high for 2 to 3 minutes. And you're done. Just let it rest for a bit. Serve it hot, as I said, poured over broken mealy meal rotis.
Tell you, Adam, how healthy that is. Eh? I mean, it's just like you're having a medicinal food, healthy food, but tasty food. and with the mealy meal roti. Wow, it's absolutely unreal. I want to ask you a question. You know, mom has made parda from this dunya. Allah fill her cover with nur and give her, you know, jannat fulfill those. Ameen, summa ameen. Even all our mothers that have gone there. But were you the type of lad? I mean, I was like this. When mom used to cook, I used to sit in the kitchen and watch her. And that's how, you know, both you and I became the chefs. Adam the chef and Shaf the chef. Adam?
Yes, Shafad, we were allowed in the kitchen from a very young age. A lot of ladies are very protective. But they feel it's a dangerous environment and the kids can get burnt and they mustn't be around hot liquids, etc. But we had the freedom of the kitchen and we were allowed to explore with cooking, etc. and stuff. So really have very fond memories of mom in the kitchen. And talking about our heritage, I don't speak Memon, but just remember a couple of things. I think when they broke up that mealy meal roti, it was like you call it bus bus roti. So you break it up into a bowl and you pour the hot methi soup over it. And I think they used to call it lasanwari roti.
Yes.
You know, it's the like the spring onion chopped and mixed into the flour as well with the mealy meal. It really, really brings back such hearty memories. And on a cold day like today, it's actually chilly in Durban with the overcast and the rain. I wonder how many of our listeners will actually go out and make the methi roti and pour it over the bus bus roti chapati.
Well, I know Noora Masi used to make it, and Maria Masi, and not forgetting when Soli Kaka, he too, he used to say, hey, send that for Shaf, send that for Shaf. But they're all gone from this world, Adam. They're in the other world. Allah fill the cupboard with Noor. Adam, you were absolutely brilliant this morning. Really enjoyed your company, and you bring radio alive with your organic tunes and the tunes from the ocean. Your parting words this morning?
Shafad, I just love to encourage everyone to enjoy the long weekend. Come down to Durban, enjoy some fishing, book with the charters, and enjoy your heritage. Fishing is also our heritage, Shafad. Thanks for a lovely show. Salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.